Trust we're all well today. No? Was it a no? All right. We will pray. All right. To begin with something just a little, totally different, actually. We are going to get to Matthew 13, and it's our continuation of our series through Matthew. And we get to Jesus' words around the kingdom of heaven, which are really big ideas. But first, I'd like to start with a small idea, and in fact, a small problem. So, kombucha. Hands up if you know what kombucha is. Okay, small number of faithful. So, kombucha is fermented tea. So, when I tell people that I drink a lot of kombucha and I do ferment tea, people's faces just don't light up in that moment. Full of healthy live probiotics. You ferment the tea with a starter culture for 7 days. You bottle it. And what's really cool about kombucha, you can flavor it. This is just a plain, nothing added, but you can make it much more like a ginger beer. Put in your ginger and lemon. Tastes great. Full of really good health. All right. Problem. What's really cool about kombucha is that it will naturally carbonate when you bottle it. You've got to use glass bottles, apparently, and not plastic. Now, I got these bottles from Moore Wilson's. Problem. The seal doesn't seal tight enough. So, this is a bottle just yesterday. Good morning, Brad. And have you ever had kombucha before? All right. And I'll just open this close to the microphone and you'll hear. Oh, it's a little pop. What you should have is a little natural carbonation. It's nice. It adds to the drink. All good. Would you like to try some kombucha a bit? And just let us know. What do you think? No, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. And love. It's nice? It's not fizzy at all. Yeah. It tastes like iced tea. I like it a bit like iced tea. That little kind of natural hint of apple. you get that? All right. So here's an empty bottle. So my problem is that the seal doesn't seal tight enough. I get that there might be a small problem. We like to bandy around that little phrase, first world problems. And I'm thinking, well, actually, how could I fix this? Because, I think it's innate in human nature. But definitely for Kiwis, is that we love to fix stuff. We've got a problem. Let's sort this out. And we're going to fix it. So I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, well, how can I make the seal a little bit tighter? And I know lots of cool people, but who could I ask? And I thought, well, here on Sunday I could ask you guys. Maybe you've got some really good ideas about how I could seal this. I was wondering I could get a thicker rubber stopper. I could get some needle nose pliers and kind of maneuver it and... Any suggestions? A fork? A cork. Oh, okay. So just disregard the stopper altogether, cork it. Thank you.
Glue it on.
Glue it on? Yeah. We're going for good health here. Yeah. You can wax it. Yeah, you only have to ferment it, the second ferment is only 7 days. That would be a bit of a longer-term solution, wouldn't it? Right. Other ideas? Screw top? Oh, yes. Yeah, and it'll just seal it. All right. I'll come back to you on that one. Did you want some more? Okay. Innate in our human nature is that desire to fix things. We've got a problem and we want to fix it. Small problems require small solutions, and actually glad wrap could be just about perfect. I'll let you know. When it comes to big problems and they require big solutions, they can be really overwhelming. And yet there's that desire within us to say, here's a big problem. We've got to fix that thing. And what are we going to do about it? And some of these big problems are just so monumental. And you bring them before God and you think, God, what's your plan? Because God, surely you've got a plan, right? Here are some big problems. War and terror. That's a big problem, isn't it? People who live in societies who have murderous intents. French priest this week with his throat slit, which is just one little isolated incident amongst a world of people who have, who face and become victims of murderous intent. And then, say, war and terror, those who instigate war and terror, those who are victims of them. So here we face, in the world today, tens of millions of people forcibly displaced. The biggest displacement of people since World War II. It's a monumental problem. Let's roll this back maybe a little like in our own backyard. And so often hitting our headlines is the issue of vulnerable children and family violence. That's a big problem. And it's got to have a big solution. So this week, government has announced next year $347 million more going to the needs of vulnerable children in New Zealand. Big problems require big solutions. And when you take those categories, war and terror, people with murderous intent, family violence, vulnerable children, doesn't it just seem all too much? And when you, like, you think about what that desire to do something about it, to fix a problem, all of a sudden we feel horribly, horribly small in our contribution to do anything to issues that are just so monumental. When we take up Matthew today, Jesus he just sets up this issue that there is evil in the world. That evil is present, and it's a reality, and it's something that goes hand in hand with those who decide to walk closely with Jesus. And I'm wondering, God, what's your plan? And I find as I examine this text in Matthew 13 that actually within it is God's big plan for these big problems. Can we have a look? So Matthew 13, there are three parables. They all run side by side. We're going to start with the first one and just take a little couple of wee thoughts and then read the next two. Convenient for us is that the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, can you just give us a little bit more on that parable? Can you help us understand? So we'll read those two bits together. It will help. Matthew 13, verse 24. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So on to verse 36. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. There, verse 41, there's that description. They'll collect out of his kingdom all the causes of sin and all evildoers. In very sharp contrast, in black and white categories, Jesus gives us this picture language of weeds and wheat. Wheat, those that are seeds that are sown, that are children of the kingdom, that is those who say, I'm with Jesus. I will be faithful to God. I turn from my sin. I will walk with the Lord Jesus. And then in sharp contrast, in the picture language, they make up the weeds. Or in that verse 41, that description, the causes of sin and all evildoers. And we can put a more of a human face on that, those weeds today. Those with murderous intent. The forced displacement of tens of millions of people through war and terror. Family violence in our own backyard. If we stopped and thought about it a little more, we would extend that list considerably. Let's just keep it short for today. All the causes of sin and evil intent. And I read it and I feel a little bit defeated because I'm saying, Jesus, is that just it? Are we just to accept that good and evil exist in this time? I hear these words of judgment that in time to come that it'll all be taken up together and there'll be judgment and there'll be those who'll be with God and those who are not. And trusting that we'll find sense and reason and God's wisdom at that time. But God, I live today. And I live in a world of the causes of sin and evil intent today. Are we just to accept that that exists? Surely you've got another plan. These big problems require a big solution. And it's like in the story, there's like an exploration of what a solution could be. And so in the parable, the servants come up to the master and say, well, shall we gather the weeds? And the master says no, because then the wheat would be destroyed as well. And sometimes I'm tempted to think that, you know, well, maybe God should just, you know, send Jesus back real soon and just wrap everything up. Just come and do your great work of judgment and do it now, Lord, because there's more than enough evil and suffering in the world for anyone to contend with. And I hear Jesus say in these parables, actually, I'm not in the annihilation business. And it's really quite in keeping with, you think back to the story of Noah, the promise that comes with the rainbow, I'm not going to come and destroy everybody again. You read on in Genesis and Abraham's going to save Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. And he pleads with him, God, for just 50 righteous people, would you save the city? For 40, for 30, for 20, for 10 righteous people, would you save the city? And Abraham, he makes this beautiful confession in the form of a question. He says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham's confession must rest with us. As we look at the evil and suffering in this world and anticipate Jesus' return and judgment to come, and for all our questions and misunderstandings and our whys and wherefores, God, we must say with Abraham, will not the judge of all the earth do right? And that on that day when Jesus comes, we will say that with peace and understanding in our hearts, because we'll have an understanding then which we can never have right now. There's judgment to come. But my question still stands. God, I live today, And there's evil and suffering in the world today, and surely, God, you've got a big plan, a big solution to big problems. And I think he does. In this passage, Jesus pulls out some really big words. Take this as a big word. Heaven. Do words get much bigger than heaven? The place where God lives, where he dwells. God of the heavens. From where God acts. Heaven. Here's another big word. Kingdom. In an earthly sense, kingdom is that place of security where a king is in place and there's rule and authority, dominion, protection. Big words. Let's put them together. Kingdom of heaven. Other gospel writers refer to the kingdom of God here for Matthew, kingdom of heaven. Here is God's big plan for big problems, his big solution. So I want to read this passage again, and I want you to be listening for the kingdom of heaven lessons. Three times, three parables, three times we hear the phrase, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And so prick up your ears. And what do we learn today? What is the kingdom of heaven like? And how is it God's big answer for big problems? Matthew 13, verse 24, Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then all the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, you did not sow. Did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. Jesus has set us up. Weeds and wheat. Those who intend good in the world and those who intend evil. The causes of evil and sin in the world. A big problem. So what's God's big solution? What is the kingdom of heaven response to this? The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a farmer who sows a seed. A tiny seed that grows up and is wheat, which in itself is small, vulnerable, and is right alongside the weeds, just present. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a seed, small, present in the world. Second parable, kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, which grows up into a, well, shrub, quite unremarkable. I kind of wonder, couldn't Jesus have said the kingdom of heaven is like the great cedars of Lebanon? huge, powerful, mighty, beautiful, awe-inspiring. No. An unremarkable shrub, which birds come and go and find their shelter. And if you thought that was small, third parable, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Now, I like to make sourdough bread. From sourdough, it's an active yeast. All you do is you feed it flour and water. Well, you feed it flour and you add water. And in this like container of active yeast, well, you know that there's just flour and water in there. And yet, after a day or two, it starts to bubble and grow. And you realize that there's more than flour going on in there. And microscopically small yeast. You would need a microscope and then some science intelligence to look through it to understand what you're looking at to be able to identify that there's yeast in there. The kingdom of heaven is like something microscopically small. Weeds and wheat, the causes of sin and evil. Big problems. God's kingdom of heaven solution is like something that is small, like something that is small, like something that is small. What's your big answer, God? You know, I look at the problems in the world and I look at me and I find myself microscopically small. Helpless? I look at the problems of war and terror. And now I think of myself microscopically small. And my hope as a dad to raise children who know peace with God, peace in relationships, and peace within. In the face of war and terror, my little efforts for peace, they are microscopically small. And yet I hear God say, perfectly placed in the kingdom of heaven. I think of tens of millions of people currently forcibly displaced, refugees, a global crisis right now. And I think of me microscopically small. And the opportunity that I have on a Wednesday evening where I sit with my home group, which are former refugees from Myanmar, and they're my friends. They're like family. We share, we pray, we open the scriptures. We share our concerns and our thoughts. I think of one person in particular. She's been in New Zealand now for, I think, maybe 6 years. She just recently got her permanent residency, her citizenship. She's from Kachin State. And so we joke and say, well, you know, she's Kachin, but now she's Kiwi, so is she now Kachiwi? I knew her when she first came to New Zealand. And for years, there was a cloud, literally a cloud in her eyes. And she never smiled. She's here with her daughter, her son's back in Myanmar. You know how people sometimes, like, they forcibly smile? You know, it's like, she was like that for years. And over the last couple of years, that cloud has lifted. And she'll interact, and her English has become quite good, and she'll tell a joke, and you see her light in her face. This year, she's saved up, and she's planning to go back and visit her parents in Kachin State in Myanmar. And that fills her with hope and joy. And I think of my relationship with that person, I think, well, what have I done? Well, literally next to nothing. My contribution has been microscopically small. And yet I hear God say, perfectly placed in the kingdom of heaven. I think of the devastating news of family violence and the needs of vulnerable children in New Zealand. And I think of the gift that I have in my place of work, where I get to work with Christian foster families who take in children and young people and provide welcome, warmth, shelter, peace, hope, a good feed. Shelter. Goodness me, just like the kingdom of heaven. I think of my contribution, which is, it's small, it's like a mustard seed. Sometimes I look at the big problems and I feel just so insignificant. And yet I find small places in which to make a small difference. And I hear God say, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Many of you will know of Mother Teresa. She's a woman who knew much about the kingdom of God. And she charged her people and anyone who would listen with this. Do no great things, only small things with great love. The person who knew much about the kingdom of heaven. So let's take that as our charge. What's going on in the world today is heinous, it's horrible. Sin and evil is present. God will come one day and he will wrap things up. And we will be able to look upon that day in that time and say, the judge of all the earth did right. It'll be an understanding which we will have at some point. It's not an understanding that I have today. What I do know today is that God calls all people who would follow him, all the children of the kingdom of God, to do small things with great love, to make contributions in a world that desperately needs peace and love and hope and grace, who needs to see people walking closely with the Lord Jesus Christ to know that there is a way for true peace. Will you take that as your charge this week? Do no great things, only small things with great love. So who will you sit with and listen to? Who will you phone up and have a coffee with? Who is lonely in your street? Who is bullied at your school? Who is having a tough time in your place of work? Who needs a companion? Who needs assurance? Who needs words of peace and hope and someone who would be with them like the Lord Jesus has come to be with us? Take that as your charge and do something small with great love and find the Lord say, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let us pray. Lord, we are greatly troubled by all that is of evil and sin in our world today. And in our smallness, may we find your purpose, that we would be your people of peace, that in this world today, more and more would find peace with you, peace in their relationships, peace within, because you are a great God and your kingdom of heaven has come near. Bless your name. And for your glory we pray and commit ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.